aren't gonna read it. We'll read it in a moment.
We're not gonna read it.
Lord bless you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have Sister Milka back. Everybody keep Brother Isaac and Gabby's little baby in mind in prayer. The Lord's the one who'll do it. He's the healer.
He's already
done. That's right. The body's just got to come under subjection of what we believe. It has to do it, so. We believe. Brotherly kindness. Let's read 2 Peter 1. According to as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, besides your born-again experience, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, all its temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Now we were kind of mentioning this last night with that brother Ramsey. He didn't lose his salvation, but he did lose his inheritance as far as going on in the statue of a perfect man, or as far as going on with God. He said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go get him some beer, and I'm going to go drink. And he just got an evil spirit on him. I was looking while we were talking about that. Brother Brown said he had a critical spirit one time on him, and he was asking people to pray to get it off of him. A prophet. Critical spirit.
He told Brother Charlie he did.
Charlie Cox that he had a critical spirit. Well, so did Brother Brown. I've got the quotes right here. Brother Brown said, I have a critical spirit and I'm praying that God will get it off of me. Okay, so just look up critical spirit. It's only about 8 quotes and all of them are pretty much him talking about himself having a critical spirit.
Isn't that understandable
though,
being the human part of him?
Oh, sure.
Sees all the wrong.
A prophet condemns to the ones that won't listen. Now, he's salvation to the ones that listen, but he condemns the ones that don't listen. So, it was actually God condemning, because really what he was doing was he was wondering why people just didn't see the light. And he was, you know, being very critical about how the women dressed and how preachers conducted themselves. He had a very critical spirit, he said, and that was in 1954, I think it was. And then he was still talking about it in 1957, I think. I'm not going to go back to it, but you got to remember one thing. Once you get born again, you're not immune from the devil.
Right.
You're not immune from his tactics and his actions and his ways, and you're not immune from a spirit getting on you.
That's right.
We all get spirits.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I do. You get a critical spirit or one that, you know, sometimes you just don't care. And that was that Brother Ramsey. He just didn't care anymore. He probably, there's no telling what he went through, because Brother Ramsey never said he went through thus and so. He was just having a hard time. And he got a spirit on him that he just didn't care anymore. Wasn't going to preach anymore. But he said the man was saved. Because I read that last night in Bible study. Brother Ramsey knew he was saved. But God shortened his life because of his actions. All right, so my quote to you is to live a long life, do these virtues. Because somebody's got to be perfected, and you can't die.
Right.
If you go on to perfection, that's the destruction of death.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But if you say, well, I just can't love my neighbor as myself. Well, you know what? You're going to die and you're going to go by the grave. You're not going to take the change.
That's good.
You're just not. You're going to the grave. Temperance, patience, all these things. You're going to a grave if you do not have these virtues working in your life, but continue to go on to the capstone of love. So brotherly kindness, like I said, it's a hard one. It's really hard to love somebody that hates you. It's not hard to love somebody that loves you. That's easy. You know, for Deanna, it's just real easy for me to love her. You know, but now somebody else that rubs against you and goes against you, it's hard to love them too.
Right.
Well, I wasn't even thinking about you. Woman, you hate me. Lord, it was the woman you gave.
Lord.
Used to be a long time we'd go out. We read this quote last weekend. If a neighbor, when he was on the farm and somebody got sick, we'd go over and cut the corn, cut the wood, bring it in. Nowadays, you don't even know your neighbor's dead unless you read it in the paper. Now, this was back in 1955. What about now? Brotherly love has ceased. It's awful. Then he condemned his wife for going downtown. He said, "How do you do, Sister Branham?" And I looked over at Meta and I said, "Well, you didn't speak to that woman." She said, "Yes, I did." And I said, "Well, I didn't hear you." She said, "I smiled."
That's cute.
Oh, that little old silly grin. That's not, and that's kind of a dish on her, really. He knew that she gave that really silly grin that she really didn't mean
that
what she's talking about.
Grin.
That old fake grin. Oh, that little silly old grin. Old silly grin. That's not speaking to anybody. Get out there on the street and shake her hand and say, "Hello, sister, I'm glad to meet you. Amen, brother." That's what, get back to the old-fashioned Ewing line again, where men are Christians to Christians and men and women live like they ought to. Now look right here. It says right here, now we are facing a day that when it's prophesied to us that brotherly love will become a strange thing among people. All right, well now that comes from Matthew. We're going to read it here in Matthew 24. Remember, this is God talking, telling the disciples. They ask him the three questions. What would the end be? When's the sign of his coming? And something about the temple. And don't worry about that right now. Jesus talks. Then Jesus begins to tell them, says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Okay? He starts telling them what's going to happen. And then you look down here in verse 11, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." All right, so we're prophesied that that's what's happening. But watch what Brother Branham says. Now, Jesus said, at the end time, the love of men is going to wax cold. Because remember, this is the seal. Jesus is preaching the seals to the disciples. It says, "It's my humble belief that that is the greatest of all the gifts that there is in God's Bible. And Satan's tearing it apart. If the Lord Jesus should stand on the platform tonight and look me in the face and say, 'I'm going to give you your choice. You can be a great person, a great minister. I'll give you a gift of preaching the gospel. I'll give you the gift of teaching the word, or I'll give you the gift of divine healing. I'll give you the gift of prophecy, or I'll make you a prophet, or any of the fine gifts of faith, any of the gifts that's in the Bible, I'll give them every one to you. But I'm going to withhold love from you, or either I'll give you love and withhold the gift.' I say, 'Lord, take all the gifts and let me have the love.'" Okay? See, for no matter how many gifts we got, they will never do us any good. We talked about that last night. Except the love of God is the motive behind the gift. We must have love. So there is your... Then we look and see that last week we talked about... Now let's find out what Pentecost had and find out what we got lacking. So they started out... Remember what happened in the book of Acts. They had all things common. Now remember, brotherly love is that today, we're going to announce today that Bob is going to be our head overseer. Tomorrow we're going to the bank and we're going to withdraw all of our money, every bit of it, not a penny less, and we're going to give it to Bob. And Bob's going to distribute it as we need it. Now most of you have already said in your mind, "I ain't doing that." Well, then you ain't got brotherly love. That's what he says right here. Because Ananias and Sapphira comes up, and they were the ones that said, okay, we gave all. But they withheld some money. And the Holy Spirit called them out and killed them both,
right,
or took their life for withholding just a little amount of money that they thought they were giving all. Because the confession was, we gave all.
Right.
All right. See, if they had not have confessed, if they had just come up and said, look, this is all we can give,
right,
it'd have been different.
Right.
But they asked, and they asked Peter, and they said, we gave all.
Yeah.
Well, the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter and said, why have you lied? You didn't lie to Peter, you lied to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
All right. So there you see that brotherly love, what will happen to you?
Yeah.
It'll kill you.
But it was the lie that...
It was the lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was the lie. They said we gave all, and they didn't. If they would have said we gave what we could,
that's true.
That's not a lie.
Yeah.
They gave what they could.
Right.
But now it says in the Bible they gave all of them. They put all their money, pooled all their money together, and they distributed it and sent people out to do mission work and stuff like that. And now they had to have a lot of confidence in Peter.
Do you think maybe they gave all they could?
No, they gave all.
No, it said they gave every. Let's see.
They were killed because of their
mind. Let's see if we can find out.
No, I meant when it
says all, does it mean
even the money you would need to buy food to take care of your family? You don't have to give anything. You're not forced to. Acts chapter 5.
But they tried to make it look like they gave everything.
Let's just read that down here. Yeah.
All right, and the most, verse 32, Acts, chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and neither any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own.
That's right. All they gave all.
They all said, this is what we're going
to do. Right. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them.
So it wasn't just money, they gave everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Didn't say they withheld anything. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who is by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price. Okay. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And then he dies. Then his wife comes in and she says the same thing. She dies.
Do you think they sold their houses? Where did they go at night?
Let's read that one more time.
I don't said they sold
them. Let's read that one more time. It says they sold their houses.
Yeah, they didn't have any place to live.
Their needs were met as they were needed.
Maybe they rented some.
For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them. What part of that do you not get?
No, she had houses.
Houses.
Where did they go at night if they sold their own home? Nobody. See what I'm saying?
Distribution was made unto every man according to his needs. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, even people that had land. I'm just telling you that...
Did the apostle give them a place to live?
Listen. What I'm trying to say is those apostles, Peter, James, John, the ones that were entrusted to do the distribution, they were at brotherly kindness on the pyramid. Everybody understand that? They had the faith of the fathers. When the Holy Ghost fell on the 120 in the upper room, they had been tutored by Jesus. Jesus had brought them to a place to where when the Holy Ghost fell, it not only quickened their soul, but it brought all these virtues into their life. So that's totally different than what me and you have even, that we didn't start that way. We started with a new birth as a baby, not having a lot of virtue, not having the knowledge, not having temperance, patience. We had to grow up through the statue of a perfect man. They had already been tutored by God Himself, so when God Himself come back and watered or quickened what He had already planted, they had brotherly kindness. Well, the brotherly kindness was, the problem with me not giving my money to Bob is I've got some kind of issue that I don't trust him. That's not brotherly kindness. If he's got the Holy Ghost, and if he's at the statue of a perfect man that that Peter and James and John were, what I'm saying is those people trusted those men.
That's right. So there would have to be some provision for them to have that much trust.
Yes. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't sell their houses and give it to Peter and them, and Peter and them live in a mansion, and everybody else has to live in a shack. Right.
No. They trusted that they would provide what they needed.
Absolutely.
I think the thing may have been that everyone being kind of like equally taken care of in their needs.
That is correct.
Not that someone being poverty and someone
No. Because see, the communal attitude is where that comes from. So man takes it and perverts it and puts everybody in a commune. And they have everything common, wives and everything, husbands and all that. They do all that communal stuff. But the way the church was first set up in Jerusalem, the foundation of the church we're built on is they trusted those men to take care of what was going on. And there was no question, because see, Ananias had a question, or he wouldn't have given it all. And he said, "Why'd you lie?" I said, "You didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost."
Right.
So the Holy Ghost must have been on the scene to provide. See, that's our problem. Our problem is, and sorry, Sister Trudy, the problem is you don't trust giving your money to somebody else. That's the whole thing. I wouldn't mind if I had $1 million, I'd give it to Bob. It wouldn't bother me a bit. If he wanted to sell my house and we had a need, I wouldn't. That don't bother me. That stuff don't bother me. So what? Big deal.
It's natural. I don't think a lot of people back then even had houses.
No.
It sounds like it was kind of rare for people to have a house or property.
Yeah, because
so I think that they maybe dwelled in tents mostly.
Well, so it's like Frida said, though, because you had these people that had, these people that had not. But the people that had not and the people that had, they gave all. Once they pooled it together, they all lived in a decent apartment or whatever you want to say.
A piece of land with tents and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't say.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very common for people. Like nowadays, you can't imagine somebody not having a house, but I don't think they have one.
But listen, let's don't forget this. This is the foundation of the Christian church.
Right. I think it's
so whatever was the foundation was, it had to be right.
That's right.
Or the building couldn't have been built on top of it. I'm talking about what we're walking on right now.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about. And if we have a problem with what they started, then we've got a problem. I told you brotherly kindness is going to be a problem.
That's right.
Because it rubs at the privacy of this man.
That's right.
And we should have nothing private.
Right.
If we got something private, we got a problem. Ananias had something private. He had a problem.
Maybe it was just greed.
Straight up truth.
I think maybe not so much greed. I think he didn't trust. Just like what Trudy. I'm sorry, Trudy, Sister Trudy, but it's not. You have no trust in who you're giving it to.
Right.
I think it's has something to do with having faith too in God to provide. You know.
Well, they had faith in those men that were of God.
Right.
But
to do exactly what?
In those men.
Yes. Yeah, because remember, Peter said, "You didn't lie to me."
Yeah.
Right.
You lied to God.
That's right.
But now, God wasn't there standing physically. It was God in Peter.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
See, that's what we got to get. That's what we got to get back to. And it's not putting our faith in Brother Dale.
Sure.
Yes.
My, my income, now not my income, my income. My income depends on him. Now my outgo depends on me, but my income depends on him. If we don't think that he's of God, then we need to get, you know. Like the queen bee we were talking about last night. If the queen bee don't perform, the other bees kill her and make another one. So, you know. Same thing with this. This is the whole thing, people. I'm telling you, this might all stir this all up. But remember, it didn't stir it up but in two people when the church first started. Ananias and Sapphira. That's the only two people that's recorded that had a problem with this foundation of the original Christian church. And they said, we ain't giving all. We're keeping some of it for ourselves.
I would say probably Ananias and Sapphira were one of the few that did have a house.
Right.
And yes.
They think, oh, this person's giving up their tenth, and I got to get up in my house.
Yep.
You know, I'm just saying, they're thinking
the love,
more, and they're not the author's all.
That's why I believe that this, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. The love of money is the root of all evil.
I think, talking about Brother Dale, I think that some people have a problem separating the man.
Yes.
From in the pulpit, yes. From the God in the man in the
right.
pulpit.
Right.
And because you're seeing the man, and
well, sometimes see, that's the problem
it's hard
they
to see past that flesh.
That's the problem they had in Jesus.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. They said, you.
Right.
Yeah.
A
right.
man.
That's right.
We see you eat every day. We see you hungry. We see you go to the bathroom. We see you walk. You walk around with prostitutes and druggies, and you know you're. He wasn't. He, the only time he ever got in the temple was to get on to them.
Right.
Really? So you look at Jesus and you go.
He had nothing either.
And yeah, he didn't have a place to lay his head. You know. So. But it was the it's the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
It's not the money. It's the love of it. So it takes money.
The lust of money? Isn't that what it says in the Bible? The lust of money?
The love.
I thought it said the lust of
the lust of the... Pride of the eye, lust of the flesh.
But that was a trial.
Yes.
I mean, you know, they said...
Right.
They said, give all. Well, they had... Paul had in his mind, I'm not going to put these people
right.
out on the street.
No.
I'm going to provide for them. But everybody just give you all, and we'll provide for everybody. And I think they probably knew that.
Right.
Most of them knew that.
They sure. probably all
would
of
provide
faith.
A place for us.
Well, obviously it worked, because we're still living off that foundation.
Yeah.
Now, you can't get off the foundation.
Right.
If the foundation was true, you got to stay on that
That's
foundation.
Right.
Now, men have perverted it. Like I said, that the guy down in Athens. What's the other?
Pike.
Pike. See, Pike, he took the same. Bethlehem, or wherever that is, the place down there. It's close to Athens, isn't it?
Monroe.
But he that was a an idea, but he took the people to himself, not to God. He took his people to himself, to himself. And they had all things common. They had commune, and that's why they call it a commune, because everything's common. So, and then Brother Branham preaching the token message and a trailer to that group out in Arizona that Gold and all them moved out there. And Brother Branham said, you will never be successful. Why? They went about it the wrong way. They were building it on a man, not the Word of God. Now, this was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, I'm quoting Scripture, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. All right? So that cornerstone was started. That cornerstone cannot be anything different than the headstone.
Right.
Or you got two gods. So the cornerstone was, and not now that we have to give all of our money to Brother Dale, but you know what? We give him a big part of our income.
Sure.
We tithe, offerings, work, and all the things we do forward that to the running of the church. So it takes money to run the church. But these people right here, that's where brotherly kindness, right here, right here. You can read all this. The first thing that Pentecost produced was brotherly love. Now that's not 1906 Pentecost. That's the original Pentecost. It tore down the middle wall of partitions and made a brotherhood to such a way that they had everything in common in the Bible days of brotherhood.
Okay. Oh, it was teaching them love, too. Love.
Well, brotherly love really is what you call it, not brotherly kindness. It's brotherly love.
Yeah.
I mean, it says brotherly kindness, but it is brotherly love. And it's love for the brethren. Brother William and I were talking this morning, and we were talking about, you know, the sign of the times and all the things coming up. And he sells things on the internet. Well, he sells some things to these preppers. You know what preppers are? Preppers are waiting for the end time or waiting for hard times, so they're digging bunkers in there and they're storing stuff. And he sold parachute cord, and they use parachute cord for many different things for their preparation for the end time. But I found there's nowhere in the Bible that says to store up anything except the Word of God. To not depend on even what you're going to say.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Says you, it'll be given to you.
That's right.
So don't you, in other words, it's saying, shut up, don't speak.
Same example.
Same thing, right. Don't speak, it'll be given to you. You can't build yourself up, you can't eat the right food, you can't store it, because it's like Brother Weeb and I were talking, and you'll know it if you have a new car. You'll be going down the road and OnStar calls you. Well, that speaker's on.
Yeah.
I mean, they're supposed to cut it on and cut it off.
Yeah.
But this woman calls you and says, it's time for an oil change, Mr. Dale. And you're looking around, you know, and you wonder where that come from. Well, she's doing it from a satellite. They can leave their microphones on. Look at now how many videos they are, how many cameras. You ever looked on a Walmart?
All the black balls?
Yeah. Look on the outside. When you walk into Walmart, just look up. There's probably 30 cameras.
That's right.
Pointed in every direction.
They have them on the streets now.
Oh yeah. Even in Gainesville, there's a lot of cameras. So, what my point is, we can't do enough to try to hide from what's coming.
That's right.
We cannot do enough to hide from what's coming. God's going to have to do. See, because if it was anything, man, what God's doing, He's bringing it down to the point where Waydale don't depend on Waydale anymore. Because when Gehazi and Elisha were standing there in that host of 20-something thousand people, and Elisha says, Gehazi, man, there's more of us than there are of them. And he looks and goes, one, two. He never can get any more than two. Well, what did Elisha say? God opened thy servant's eyes. Well, he saw chariots of fire and angels. Well, they were there the whole time. But now what did Elisha do? Elisha goes right into that camp of them people and says, who are you looking for? And they said, well, we're looking for Elisha. He said, well, come on, I'll show you where he's at. Well, it was him. God had changed their eyesight to where they didn't know who he was. And remember, he took them right down in the middle of the Syrian army, and God opened their eyes and they were just defeated. They just laid their swords down and just... And that's what's got to happen to us. We cannot, the only thing we can depend on is get enough of those virtues in us to where God can act. And it not be us act. It'll be God doing the acting, not us doing the acting. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Because remember, Jesus, one time they had him backed up on a cliff. And they were getting ready to stone him. They were going to kill him, the Bible says. The Bible says he disappeared through the crowd. All he done, he just changed their eyesight. And he just walked right through them and they never saw him.
Right.
But it was him walking in flesh, walking right through that crowd. And that's the only way that you and I are going to make it, is God's going to have to do it.
That's right.
Because remember, Brother Ramson, you can't make yourself have these virtues.
That's right.
You know, you've got to, but remember, there's provision for you to get them. And that's come to church, read the Bible, study, pray. Get with somebody that's got the virtue. See, that's what I believe Peter, James, and John and all of them, they were in one central location. But God wanted to get the word out, and he knew if this two people over here had their own idea and they go off over here, and that's what happened. They preach a different doctrine. But God brought everything central. Peter, James, and John, all the ones who were head of the first church. Paul was included later, but Paul wasn't really included in this yet. Okay, it was Peter, James, and John. Because Paul hadn't been converted yet. But in that central location, God said, okay, we're going to send you out into these different areas, but you're going to take this gospel and we're going to provide the funds for you to go. And that's how it worked, because you know what? The gospel got out somehow. But see, Jesus, though, speaking right here at the end of his life on earth, he said, the love of many will wax cold. Showing that in the beginning of time, in the beginning of the Christian church, that brotherly, the brotherhood, so they have everything in common. But now at the end time, Satan's going to take all that away, or try to take it all away, the brotherly kindness. Jesus said, this will all men know. When you have love, one for another, one for the other. Pentecost had it. I'm speaking Pentecost, meaning the first group of apostles and disciples. They had that brotherly love. They wasn't greedy. They sold everything they had for the furthering of the church. They were so together till even one heard of the other one died, and they said, let us go and die with him. That's the attitude of that first church. Now listen, if it's the attitude of the first church, it's got to be the attitude of the last church. Can't hold anything different. Can't hold anything back. Let's go ahead and go up front. That way we can have some time to get everything ready. Pray for us doing all the cooking and all. And your sisters enjoy it.